This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Kevin Stefanski, whatever. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyme, alive in the Fan, 216-474-0092. I'll tell you this. You asked, what can you accuse Kevin Stefanski of? Explain that again.
Yeah, so I'm watching him on the sidelines yesterday, and I saw him have a fiery conversation after like the almost seventh could be maybe interception from Jameis Winston. And I saw him like, you know, really trying to coach him. And the game was over at that point. And then I thought to myself, well, he doesn't really do anything with the defense from what we've been told over the years.
What exactly do you do here?
And then now he's not calling the plays. So his work when it comes to that stuff in the offense is done throughout the week. On Sunday, he's down there on the sidelines, and we're still getting used to seeing him and kind of how he works operationally with the whole team. And so everybody I saw, you know, oh, we got to get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy. And I saw a lot of people saying that Stefanski is terrible yesterday, and he's had a god-awful year. There's no doubt. I mean, look at the record of the team. They're 2-7.
Yes.
I mean, no coach is doing a good job when they're 2-7. I was willing to put a lot on quarterback play, and yesterday, again, quarterback play was abysmal. But then I thought to myself, well, how do I hold the coach accountable? He is the coach, but specifically what I was seeing yesterday, what would you have him do differently as a head coach, or is that work already done, you know, throughout the preseason, training camp, and Monday through Saturday?
What did you think of play calling? You don't make a big deal about play calling anyway, but what do you think of play calling? What did you think of it yesterday?
Play calling did not come to mind yesterday as an issue.
Well, first off, he's the head coach of the football team.
I just thought you had a horrible quarterback. Yeah. Well, you had some of the worst quarterback play in the NFL yesterday.
Well, there you go. Well, that's part of it. I mean, but
will never make any play calling look good.
The list is long and distinguished and sometimes undistinguished of head coaches who have been let go because of bad quarterback play. I mean, it's one after another.
And furthermore, one other point, they have no running game. So when your running
back, that's gonna be a problem too.
When your running back looks like a shell of what it was, and if there is a hole, and now that hole is gone.
Tone, that's why we're a month away from December. That's why in December, because this is going to continue. I don't know how much. I mean, I'm kind of back in the doldrums here, but especially because you're going to start trading guys, and it's all going to be bad. This is why I aim higher. If you want to go after him, I aim higher. What two-time coach of the year gets power taken away from them? What coach gets power taken away from them? Why? Why is that? Who makes that decision? Is it really the owner of the football team, or is it the guy who lives in San Diego on Zoom calls? I don't know. Is it the guy in San Diego? Is it Andrew? Who takes away the power? Two-time coach of the year, taking away the power. We're giving you less power. Wait a minute, we made the playoffs again. Yep, you got to bring in a different offensive coordinator here. Why? Well, we didn't like what Alex Van Pelt had to say about our $230 million quarterback to us. At least that's what you've told me before. You can accuse Kevin Stefanski of all of it, because what he becomes, if this is all true about they've taken away his play-calling ability and taken away his power and all the other things, if that's all true, then he just becomes a fall guy, a 2-7 fall guy for whatever is going on behind the curtain in the Wizard of Oz. That's all he is. So you can accuse him of anything that you want, Anthony, because that's what he's there for. That becomes his role. A guy that we can yell. It's the same thing I talk about with Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell goes out there during the draft, which we will be paying very close attention to this year, and he whoops it up with everybody, and he gets people to he basically does the Hulk Hogan to let people boo him. You know why? Because he's making $60 million a year, and that's what the owners pay him to be. They pay him to be a fall guy that everybody hates. And this is what Kevin Stefanski is becoming right in front of our very eyes. We went from genius of offense, genius of all the other things of putting together a team and managing people to, well, he has no power, and really he's the guy that's walking around on the sidelines that we boo. And you can tell that some of these decisions are not his decision because, again, why on earth would he be having such a meltdown all the time? Now, I didn't see his mannerisms yesterday. Maybe there was a meltdown or two. Did you see anything?
I would say just more fiery at times.
Okay. See it yesterday.
But no, there wasn't a ton. I mean, because again, they showed more of Ken Dorsey than they did of Kevin Stefanski yesterday.
Was there anything that he was more animated on that you've noticed in the past? Before this year.
Year. Yeah, so there's been a number of instances.
This is the first year he's been animated and frustrated, right? Either A, it's all his decision, and that they just can't do it, which, who knows, he'll be the fall guy. I'm sure that's what they'll say at the end. Or B, he's getting power taken away from him, and he doesn't have any control over any of this stuff. Which one is it? You can argue with him that, well, you wouldn't do that. Well, you're not in his position, and I'm not in his position. I wouldn't want to do that because when things go bad, we tend to bring things in. We tend to insulate ourselves. We tend to focus on ourselves and focus on doing it by ourselves. Things aren't going well, and he handed off play calling ability. And your quarterback just didn't play well yesterday, didn't see the field. Nathan commented on it several times yesterday that Jameis Winston wasn't seeing the field. Yeah, not seeing the field, you can only work so much magic, but that's it. That's all there is to it. And so you have a head coach that becomes now possibly a victim of terrible quarterback play all throughout this year. But again, people aren't going to care because, and frankly, I do care, but I think I got to go up higher. What does the guy in San Diego do here other than collect praise whenever they're doing good and completely disappear when things are going bad? Excuse me, he was at the game against Cincinnati. I did see him. There were several pictures of him taken on the sidelines because Andrew Berry's there every single week. People don't feel that they need to take screenshots of him there on the sidelines. The owners are there every single week. People don't need to do it. But when Paul DiPodesta shows up, why do I got to take a bunch of pictures of him?
I'm not even really thinking of him. I mean, I thought it was pretty telling last year.
Why wouldn't you?
The reason is down in West Virginia. I mean, we went over this last week that they went out of their way. Jimmy Haslam did to say that he was not signing an extension. And, you know, I've heard rumors that a role could change there. So he's not the one I'm thinking of. I'm wondering, okay, a week ago, everybody made it clear that they thought, okay, well, the fact that we're going to get normal quarterback play the rest of the year based on beating the Baltimore Ravens and what Jameis did, that Barry was going to be back and also Stefanski. Now that we're back to bottom basement quarterback play, I mean, if I were making a prediction now, I would say both of them will be gone.
I could give you.
What do you think?
Well, Tone, if we're week by week with these guys, what's that tell you? If we're week, well, hey, he could stay, he could go. That means they're probably going to be on their way out.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of brought that up last week.
When it comes to when
people said that that had calmed all of that speculation, I'm like, if we are going at this based on, oh, they won this week, so now that calms everything and, you know, keeps the dogs off. I mean, they're probably going to be gone.
As of right now, I can give you a bunch of arguments why Kevin would stay, but it's November 4th, and I don't want to look silly coming up on November 17th. The other part of it is with Andrew Berry, you have to ask yourself, do you trust him to execute these picks, not just make these trades? He's made decent enough trades. He got a return for Amari Cooper, and everybody did Champions Pose. But other than that, you look at some of the draft picks that have been made, and again, they started DeJuan Jones, their fourth round right tackle. They started him at left tackle yesterday in front of a healthy Jed Wills, who was number 10 overall. Does the fourth rounder cancel out the number 10 overall? Maybe it does. But the best thing about it is, or maybe the worst thing about it is, we have a couple of months to argue that. We only have a few hours to argue about who stays and who goes. So now, this is surprising to me, and it's almost becoming overwhelming to me. Because the problems, you brought in the Kevin Stefanski problem, and now the problems are too numerous to have any time to even discuss. Like, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to finish. And the only place I know where to go is back to the beginning. That's it, Tone. I mean, good God, you just threw another heap of help and a slop right in my lap here that I got to get figured out. I mean, hell, I'm trying to look towards the future. And what did you just, you got me to be very, very angry about possibilities of the past and possibilities of the right now. And here I am trying to put on a smiley face and looking forward to 2025, 26 and beyond.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.